Want to get your business in front of real sports fans? The Fade Route with DNZ reaches over 1,000 listeners every month. We drop fresh episodes every week and stay active on social media so your brand doesn't just get heard, it stays top of mind. Local, loyal, passionate. That's our audience. Are you ready to be part of the in crowd? Let's talk about how we increase your foot traffic and get people to visit your website. Email us today at faderoutemail@gmail.com or message us on our socials at faderoutepodcast on IG or slide in our DMs on X at faderoutednz so we can find the best package for you.
T-minus 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, 0, and liftoff.
Coming at you from the AO Studios, it's the Fade Route with DNZ. Here are your hosts, D and Z.
Powered by Riverside FM.
Coming at you live from the AO studio.
AO.
It's the Fade Route with D and Z. I am D, and we've got a bunch of things to talk to you about tonight.
Let's go.
It's wild card weekend was wild, and the national championship is finally gone. Down to two teams.
Jesus.
Oh man. And Trae Young gets traded to the Washington Wizards. But we'll begin today's show with the weekend that was in the NFL and the biggest upsets, if you can call them that. The six seeds, Buffalo and San Francisco, knocked off the three seeds, Jacksonville and Philly, respectively, on Sunday. Meanwhile, the Rams and Bears survived their matchup against Carolina and Green Bay. The Sunday night special saw the Patriots manhandle the Chargers, and the Texans took down Aaron Rodgers, Mike Tomlin, and the Steelers on the Monday night fight. What was the biggest surprise to you of Super Wild Card Weekend?
The Texans beat the Steelers so bad that Mike Tomlin resigned.
Yeah, I can't do this.
No mas. He pulled a Roberto Duran. No mas. No mas. I gotta say, San Francisco beating Philly. Philly neutralizing Christian McCaffrey up until the end. And Brock Purdy beating them with the pass. Like that, to me, that's amazing. Because you saw the blueprint to beat Philly. DeAndre Swift pounding the rock, right? We saw Philly have difficulty containing the run. And that was a concerted effort on their part to make sure that Christian McCaffrey did not get off. Now, we know Ricky Pearsall's hurt. We know that Ayuk isn't there. George Kittle, he's done. George Kittle's done. You know, he got carted off, and then a bottle of tequila was brought into the locker room. So he was partying. He was good. But that was a little painkiller for him. But you figure all of this, right? They're dead in the water. There's absolutely no Fred Warner, no Nick Bosa. Like, at some point, it's just like, yeah, no. Like, there's no way. There's absolutely no way. But for those of you that still don't believe in Brock Purdy, you might want to start believing in Brock Purdy a little bit. I'm just saying. Like, he led that team to victory over a team that was healthy, that was whole. Yes, they have their problems. And we're going to get to more of their problems in a second. But Philly was poised to get the job done. But San Francisco put on their big boy pants and they overcame those obstacles. As far as other games that were really surprising, I was surprised at how little of a fight the Steelers offense put up. I mean, I was told, and maybe you were told this too, you were told that Justin Fields was the problem. You were told that Russell Wilson was the problem. We got 42-year-old Aaron Rodgers. He's going to be great. We got this guy. He's this gunslinger. He's exactly what we need. Oh, DK Metcalf is back from his suspension. No fight. Absolutely nada coming out of Pittsburgh. And it's back to the drawing board again, right? They've been trying to replace Ben Roethlisberger for years, and now they have to turn around and replace a guy who has not had a losing season in 19 years. But Buffalo, we said there was a pathway. It was an unlikely one, but it was possible. Carolina, adios, muchacho. Like, you 8-9, go enjoy Cancun.
Oh, that was tough.
That was tough.
They had it.
I'm nervous.
Basically, it was, if you think about it, Z, it was just like last year.
Uh-huh.
When Philly was playing the Rams,
yeah,
remember?
Yes.
And they came downfield, and he made the pass, but the guy didn't catch it. In this situation, Parkinson caught it and scored a touchdown. That was right. Different, Z.
Exactly.
The same game.
Yeah.
The same game.
And you know what? Like, if I'm the Rams, I'm a little concerned, right? Because we as the Rams are head and shoulders better at almost every position compared to the Panthers, and we only beat them by 3. Like, I'm shitting a brick.
Right.
If I'm Sean McVay, I am shitting a brick. And yeah, like Green Bay, 21-3. It's, you know, what are you gonna do? It's another Matt LaFleur special. Good job, well done. And then the Chargers got the shit kicked out of them. You know, the Patriots defense came to play and mauled Mr. Herbert, you know, central casting Hughes quarterback, and it mauled him so bad that they fired their O-line coach and they fired their offensive coordinator. So back to the drawing board for them too.
Yeah.
But if you're looking at the biggest of the surprises, give me the Niners all the way through. You figure Kittle's the kill shot, but apparently, no, they live to fight another day.
I'm gonna go with you on this. I'm gonna agree. Even though I had the 49ers winning the game,
kudos to you. You did.
I was still surprised at how the Eagles lost, because, like you said, they neutralized McCaffrey. But it kills me to say this, but you know, credit to Shanahan, Kyle Shanahan, with the trick play, right? Yeah. Jennings throwing the touchdown to McCaffrey. Right?
Mm-hmm.
But if you're the Eagles, you've got what, over $100 million invested in Jalen Hurts, AJ Brown, Devonta Smith. They're fucking dropping passes. Like
in
they
the hands.
They had this game. They were up and they could have put them away. They can't catch the ball. The play calling was the dribbling shits. Like, I'm sorry, but watching this game, you almost felt like it was a parent playing a child, right? It was like, yeah, we're really good, but we're going to keep you in this, keep it fun. You know, we don't want anybody to go home. And then all of a sudden, you know, the child starts making some baskets, and you're like, all right, let me turn it up a little bit.
Start trying a little bit. Here.
And then you start trying, but it's too late. Like, the ball is already rolling. And now we can't catch up. And then things that are simple, handing the ball off to Saquon Barkley got complicated. And Jalen Hurts, you know, former MVP of the Super Bowl, these are the defending Super Bowl champions. Where are you throwing the ball, man? Like, where are you throwing? There are times he's throwing into cover, even the last play of the game, it's fourth down. The guy is covered by 4 people. Don't throw it. Don't throw it. Run. Roll out.
Something.
Like, give us something. You're in position to win. As terrible as you've played, you're in position to win this game. And that's what we get. They got no yards. I'm pretty sure it ended 4th and 10. Like, they got no yards after getting all the way down there. So, I, you know, in hindsight, I actually, while watching the game, and I said the 49ers left them too much time. I was very confident. I was like, all right, the Eagles are just going to come downfield, and they're going to score a touchdown. Jalen's going to put them on his back, or, you know, somebody's going to make a play. Nobody's making a play. I mean, it's just embarrassing. Like, and now, you know, what's his name? Petrullo's gone, right? Which needed to happen. Right? It's his name? Yeah. Petullo's gone.
I think Kevin Petullo, yeah.
And now you got to figure out what you're going to do. You know, you need, I don't know, are you going to bring in McDaniels? I don't know. You got to bring in somebody. They have talent. It's talent. As much as AJ Brown drops passes and the way he's got talent. If you're not going to utilize him, trade him. He's got value. Trade him. Let Devonta Smith be the number one. Run the football. Why can't we run the football?
They have to fix the offensive line. The offensive line has been a major issue since Jason Kelce retired. But you have to talk about personnel here. Like, what is your vision moving forward? Yes, you're firing Petullo, but what is the identity? Are you going to be a run-first team? You signed Saquon Barkley. You signed a bell cow. You didn't sign a guy who was going to be put in a tandem, right? So you make that signing, if you're Howie Roseman, you want him to be your bell cow, right? And you want to run a play action off of that. But you have Smith, you have Brown, at least for the time being. That, when you have receivers of that caliber, you need to be feeding them. You need to be feeding them the ball. You absolutely need to be doing that. So they need to figure out what they are.
It reminded me of a couple of years ago. So last year they went to the Super Bowl and won. The year before that they didn't go. The year before that they went and lost. I think the year before that, I think they had lost to the Bucks in Tampa Bay, and it kind of reminded me of that, where they were kind of rolling all season, and all of a sudden they like hit a wall and they weren't playing well. As like, what happened? Like, why? It seems like the simplest thing, and they can't score more than 3 touchdowns a game with all that talent.
A lot of playing with their food. You mentioned it before. The analogy of the father and the son playing hoops. Now, you play with your food. You can't do that in the NFL.
Kill shot. Kill
you
him.
Have to.
They lost Kittle.
To.
Put him down. Put this animal down right in the first half. We don't want to deal with this stuff. But the drama of the Eagles sideline overtook the result of the game yet again. Mercurial wide receiver AJ Brown and irritant head coach Nick Sirianni went at it, getting into each other's faces in a heated exchange. After the game, Brown was seen in the locker room hugging teammates in what seemed like a moment of finality. So where do the Eagles go from here, and what's the best new home for AJ Brown?
The best thing that they can do is divorce themselves from AJ Brown.
Yeah.
Right? It's absolutely...
Yeah, no. I keep Devonta Smith, 100%.
Yeah. So I think
I don't remember if you remember, there was a stretch in the season where they're like, all right, he's complaining about getting the ball. Let's get him the ball.
Yeah.
He was heavily targeted. He had touchdowns. He had yards. But they lost all 3 of those games.
Right.
All
but
those
he got
games
his.
They lost.
But he got
he
his.
He got his. Oh, he got his.
Oh, he got his.
He
now,
got his.
It upset the apple cart. It actually throws this team out of balance. Right? Because what is the identity of this team? Like we've said, it's Saquon Barkley. It has to be. Right? The tush push. You made that a big deal, but it doesn't have to be the be-all, end-all. You have a guy, now there's a guy, in Saquon Barkley, who, when you keep him healthy and you keep him upright with a stalwart offensive line, he can take you all the way, like he did last year. You can't afford to have somebody as hot and cold as AJ Brown in here. And you can't pair him with a guy like Nick Sirianni. Nick Sirianni does not bring out the best in A.J. Brown. He's a hothead. He's an irritant. He's a jerk. Like, he's just a straight-up jerk. Like, he antagonizes the other team. He antagonizes his own team. He antagonizes the fans. You could tell when A.J. Brown was walking down the tunnel with Nick Sirianni, he gave him the dirtiest look, like, shut your cornball ass up. Shut up, man. You are not doing us any favors. And I understand he's a passionate dude. Apparently, he's a really nice guy away from, you know, great tipper, good with kids, from what I understand. But on the field, he is one of the biggest douches out there. And it doesn't lend itself to a long working relationship. It's kind of like what they said Jim Harbaugh was. Like, I don't see that now with the Chargers, but when he was at Stanford, when he was at the Niners, this uber intense dude, rubbed people the wrong way, the Pete Carroll handshake, the what's your deal, bro? That thing. Like, that's Sirianni now. And I don't think that's a good fit for AJ Brown. So, adios. Vaya con Dios. You got your ring. Thanks for the memories. Now, where do you send him? Where do you send him is the question. I think you got to send him to the Ravens. You want get him out of conference. Absolutely get him out of conference. But Baltimore, they still need a wide receiver. You pair AJ Brown with Zay Flowers. Or maybe you send Zay Flowers as part of the trade. I don't know. So that could be something that is worthwhile to consider. Another team that can use a wideout, the Buffalo Bills. The Buffalo Bills could absolutely use a wideout of his caliber. The Houston Texans could use a wideout of AJ Brown's.
There's 20
caliber.
To 25 teams that would take him.
Right? I would discount the NFC because I don't think Howie Roseman is dumb enough to trade him within conference. I think they would send
really?
Him.
Really? Who cares?
The Chargers, Justin Herbert with AJ Brown.
All these teams make sense, but I don't see why you're gonna sell yourself short. You could just charge the NFC teams more for him. That's all.
Are they willing to pay it?
Especially if you're going to get draft picks, because I'm assuming he's worth two players in a draft pick. It's not like he's a bad player. It's just that it's not working here.
No.
Like, it's not working here, dude. Like, you know, even when we give you the ball, you don't catch the damn ball. And then the games you caught the ball, we didn't win. I felt exactly what you said. They had a good, not a good thing running, but they were starting to hum a little bit with Devonta Smith and Saquon. And then all of a sudden he starts chirping. They're like, all right, I guess let's give him the ball. And they start giving him the ball, and then it all went to shit. But I could see even why the Cardinals for Marvin Harrison Jr., because that's just ain't working. You know, I think there's a lot of places where he would end up that work. I mean, I don't think Detroit needs him.
No,
but
I don't think so.
Not like the Panthers really need him. They got their guy. You know, they're young. But, you know, I think there's a ton of places he can go. But I definitely think they need to move on from him. It's just not working. Unless they get an offensive coordinator and it's like, oh, I can make this work and I can spread the ball out and make everybody happy, then, yeah, go for it. But
you said
I don't
McDaniel.
See that happening.
You said McDaniel if he doesn't get the Cleveland job. What about Cliff Kingsbury? I think Kingsbury could probably possibly make this work.
Maybe. Yeah.
You have Kingsbury.
I don't hate that idea.
You have Kingsbury and Sirianni. I don't know if that'll work.
I'd actually like to see McDaniel go to the Lions, if I'm being honest. I'd like to see his offense with that group. He's got two running backs. He's got two, actually probably three really good receivers.
Tight end
is good. A tight end. Like, that seems like perfect for him. Man, Sirianni and McDaniel would be an interesting combo. Cliff Kingsbury, sure. Just the problem I have with Cliff is, like, what happened this past season? Like, you remember, he was there before. I'm pretty sure he was there before Jaden Daniels got there. And then Jaden got there, did well. And then this year was just like, he got hurt. But the offense, I don't know. It just seems smart. And they didn't bring him back, which is another weird thing.
Avoid messy accidents. Get better stopping power with your brake pads. Callahan brake pads. You never know when you'll be driving in the road and there will be a truck tire that you need to avoid and save your family. Callahan Auto, you really care about what's under your hood.
But speaking of people that have not been brought back, we got to talk about Tomlin.
Yes, we do.
Tomlin stepping down as Steelers head coach, different from being fired, ladies and gentlemen. Stepping down after 19 years, over 500 record, one Super Bowl appearance. So where does Tomlin go and where do the Steelers go? They've only had three coaches in their whole history.
So it's one of two options, right? Either you stay the course and you sit out for a year or 2 years and then you're a free agent, right? You can go wherever you please and that team does not require they're not required to send compensation to the Steelers. If you are so inclined that you have to, if you have to coach this year, if you just can't do a year of TV, they're at least get it. They're getting probably a one. I would say at least a one.
Wow. Wow.
I mean, the guy's over 500 for his career. He has
a
Super Bowl.
Was he forced out, or did he step down on his own regard? What do you think?
I think it was a little bit of a sign the papal of Russo situation. It's like, if you don't, it's either step down or we're going to fire you. One's more embarrassing. We'll give you a minute to decide. You know,
one helps out the franchise and one really doesn't. Right?
Correct. It was like the scene in Goodfellas when Joe Pesci's led into the room, except they didn't kill him. So there's that. But, I mean, as far as where he ends up, like, I know we were texting back and forth, and we were, you know, we had our pre-production meeting, and what came to me later on is the fact that the Rooneys and the Maras are family. So would they take a little less from family so that the Giants would have their...
Is that what you want?
As a Giant fan,
yeah,
I would prefer Harbaugh. I would prefer Harbaugh. But now that my top three might have changed a little bit, because it went from Harbaugh, Stefanski, McCarthy. Now McCarthy's off the list. I got to put Harbaugh, Stefanski, Tomlin. Because Tomlin's still a defensive guy, which is good. The offensive track record is an issue. Who would his coordinator be? Right? He's not bringing Arthur Smith with him. Thank God he's not bringing Arthur Smith with him. Although I could see Arthur Smith ending up with Baltimore. Reunited with King.
Don't you want a guy that's going to develop Dart?
I want a CEO type coach. Like, I was sold on the quarterback guru. I want veteran competency. That's what I want. I want a guy, like, I just want a competent person at the helm. And I think you have Harbaugh, who's won a Super Bowl, right? Coach of the year. Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Had the Cleveland fucking Browns in position to go to the AFC title game, right? Like, and then you have Mike Tomlin, who's 19 years above 500 and a Super Bowl. Yes, with Bill Cowher's team. I will stipulate it was with Bill Cowher's team. But I just want competent, man. I'm starving. I am starving. And in the Joe Judges and the Pat Shermers and the Brian Daboles, the great coordinators, good coordinators, shitty head coaches. Ben McAdoo, like, I just want a fucking adult. Give me a gut. Like, it's akin to when the Mets hired Buck Showalter. I was all about it. Why? Because Buck Showalter was a fucking adult. Right? Give me that. Give me competent. Give me respected. I'm good with that. I'm good with any of those three. That being said, Tomlin's my third. Tomlin is my third because they haven't been able to develop a quarterback. He had Ben Roethlisberger. And then look at the track record.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's all you got to know.
Listen, I mean, for me, you know, somebody was talking about it yesterday with me and saying, you know, he's a winner. You know, he never had a sub 500 season. He's a winner.
Which is true.
And I said to him, with all those wins, he didn't go to the Super Bowl and he didn't win. He only won one. Like, what, you know, it's not like he was like Peyton Manning and company, like showing up with his briefcase, the AFC Championship game every year. Like, when I think of the AFC back in the day, I really think of it's like the Patriots, the Colts, and then the Steelers. That's the way I look at it. I think he's a good coach. I don't think he's a bad coach, but I think he should go to the desert. Like, go to Arizona. Build that organization up. Like, they could use a guy like you. Like, go there, I think.
Las Vegas. What about the Raiders?
Sure. I don't have a problem with that either. I think he'd be better in Vegas over Harbaugh in Vegas. I think Harbaugh would be better for the Giants rather than Tomlin for the Giants.
Agreed.
You know, you want to have somebody that's been in this situation with a young quarterback. Harbaugh did it with Flacco. He did it with Lamar. Like, you know, I can't can't speak to why things didn't work out, but he's going to be, Harbaugh's going to be a CEO type, right? He's going to have an oversight of everything that's going on. He's a good special teams guy. But for me, I still go to Mike McCarthy, and Mike McCarthy might be in the best person for the Pittsburgh job because he's a Pittsburgh guy. I'm pretty sure he's from Pennsylvania in some capacity.
I think he's from suburban Pittsburgh. Yeah.
But what a year for the Jets not to fire Glenn. All these coaches are out there, and you're not rethinking it. Even the Dolphins are like, oh, fuck you, McDaniel. You're gone. we can't pass this shit up.
Yes, you. But think about the AFC North for a second. Only Zach Taylor is employed. Only,
right.
Right. Think about that. And we've been talking about that. He was a candidate to get fucking axed this year after seeing what happened with the Bengals.
Right. And it's interesting because I think they're giving him a pass because Joe likes him. I think they're giving him a pass because they do score, and that's his thing, right? Yeah. You know, he knows offense, and they put up points most of the time. They shit the bet against Baltimore at the end of the year, which is weird. But, you know, so I don't know. I think if I'm Tomlin, I'm going to go to the desert. Like, I'll go coach Arizona. There's low expectations there. Or if the Raiders will have me, I'll go to Vegas, you know.
But I think Tom Brady would respect him enough to bring him in.
I mean, what about LaFleur? Should Green Bay move on for LaFleur? A 3-6 record in the playoffs?
Now, there's a guy, as Chris Collinsworth would say.
You could bring in Harbaugh. You could bring in Tomlin there.
See, if it was Harbaugh, yes. I think.
I don't know if he'd want that job, though. It's not really a. In my opinion, it's title town, but it's not really attractive to me. Like, I don't want to go there.
No, but at the same time,
they're another team that's set, right? They're offensively set. They just need really to figure out the defensive part of this.
Well, the defense figured out, and then Micah Parsons got hurt. But it's got to be more developed. The one thing that John Harbaugh has for him is that he has the track record with Flacco and Lamar, and he can try and translate that to Jordan Love. And Jordan Love has shown that he's taking some steps, right? Jaden Daniels completely fell flat on his face this year. Jordan Love took a little bit of a positive step.
Do we think the firing of coaches is done?
That's a good question.
Do we think Sean McDermott can lose his job if he loses to the Broncos?
I think they might be done.
Did he save his job by beating the Jacksonville Jaguars this past weekend?
No, because they beat a team that was in last place last year, and then they're up this year. I think it is Super Bowl or bust. I think you've said that multiple times, and I agree with you. My concern for Sean McDermott, and the reason why he's back on the chopping block, Harbaugh, McCarthy, and Tomlin. You can arguably replace Sean McDermott with a better coach, right? Or even if you want to go against the grain, you can go with McDaniel. Like, you can go with Stefanski. You can go with guys that don't fit that blue-collar Buffalo mold, right? Remember, they're opening a new stadium. So a sexy coach hire, you know, their tickets are being sold already, but it adds a little bit of extra there. I think McDermott could be in play. Peyton's not going anywhere. McDonald's not going anywhere. McVay's not going anywhere. Kyle Shanahan, like, I get his team is injured, but his team is always injured. Like, how many times can you use the all my guys are hurt thing, right? Yeah. First it was a leg thing, then it was a spiritual thing, and it's a psychological thing, and it's a heart attack. Who used heart attack?
Me. But I think it's still I mean, listen, I don't like Kyle Shanahan. I think it's really impressive what he's done in losing his linebacker. Kittle was hurt most of the year. Mm-hmm. Purdy was hurt at one point. McCaffrey, the amount of touches this guy is getting, and he's still going. And even now teams are focused on him and shutting him down. They're still winning games.
Yeah.
Very, very impressive.
Kensho cocktails by RSRV Collective are premium, non-alcoholic drinks crafted to deliver bold, sophisticated flavors inspired by classic cocktails. Alcohol-free indulgence. Enjoy a 30% exclusive discount with our promo code DNZ at RSRVCollective.com. That's 30% off using our promo code DNZ only at RSRVCollective.com.
The hot stove in baseball continues, and the Chicago Cubs have quite a week. First, they acquire starter Edward Cabrera from the Marlins for a package including top prospect outfielder Owen Cassie. Then, on Saturday night, the Northsiders inked Alex Bregman to a 5-year, $175 million contract. So have they done enough for you to call them number two in the National League behind the Dodgers?
So, it's tough. It's a tough one, right? Because if I'm calling them the number two, then the 96-win team Milwaukee Brewers move down? Are they better than the Brewers at this point? I mean, they're certainly sexier than the Brewers. They certainly have better name recognition than the Brewers. But the Brewers, they hit for contact, they field, they pitch, they do everything. Now, Cabrera gives me pause. He gets hurt a lot. And you've just paid a steep, steep premium in your top outfield prospect. And you have to wonder what this rotation's going to be. Is Cade Horton going to be who he was last year? Imanaga's Imanaga. Like, he showed Imanaga's a good pitcher. Had to opt out to get a pay raise. That's the Chicago way. You're waiting for Justin Steele to come back, right? You have J-Mo Tyone is still there. Remember J-Mo Tyone? He's still in the league. That's awesome. Good for you, J-Mo. And then, friend of the program, former Yankee. Who wasn't a former Yankee, right? You know, but prior to this week, their big move was bringing in former Yankee Tyler Austin. He was apparently kicking ass in Korea, and they went and got him.
And we mean in baseball.
We mean in baseball, yes. He wasn't doing Taipei death matches. He was not doing that. So,
blood sport.
The Kumite. Yes, he was competing in the Kumite. And Ogre was there. Okay, that's fine. But they still seem a little weak in the outfield. Yes, Seiya Suzuki, Ian Happ, Pre-Crow Armstrong. I think you could use Kyle Tucker. Like, maybe you can revisit Kyle Tucker.
I think that ship has sailed, no?
I mean, it depends on their payroll constraints. I think that, you know, you could bring him in because you have
a kick in the dick that would be if he went back to the Cubs.
He's back.
That would be pretty funny. The Yankees and the Mets and the Toronto Blue Jays just throw the papers up in the air.
Son of a bitch. God damn it. God damn son of a bitch. But, you know.
Unless Boston can come out of nowhere and Boston's desperate possible. Now.
They need somebody.
Let me ask you a question. So what do you think was the reason Bregman went to the Cubs? Because there's mixed reports out there. One report is saying that Boston didn't think there were any other suitors. They gave him an offer and they were unwilling to raise it. The other rumor is that he asked for a no trade clause and they told him that they don't give no trade clauses because they're the Boston Red Sox. And he wants to kind of be in a place for the next couple of years because his kids are in school.
Which is fair.
So which do you think it is?
I think, well, notoriously, the Red Sox.
Both. Could be both.
It could be, but the Red Sox do have a track record of trading high-profile players. Now, Alex Bregman did not come up through their system, but still, they traded Mookie Betts. They traded David Price. They traded Rafael Devers. They traded Nomar Garcia-Para. Like, that, if you're a superstar player in Boston, you are not safe. So, It's a possibility. Like,
can they trade Jason Bay too?
I don't know. They just let him go to the Mets. They said, "Here, please, for the love of God, just
get
do this for us.
Out of here.
Do us a favor. Do us a favor. Your ballpark is twice our size. He's gonna." And he did. Thanks a lot. Old memories. But if you're starting to settle down as a family man, if you're starting to kind of put roots down, you kind of need that security. Now, you could anchor your family in Boston and travel, and like that is possible. That is doable. Many athletes do it. But you want the security. You definitely want the security to know that, especially if they're really young, that they're not going to get uprooted, and then you're living this kind of transient life. I'm inclined to agree with the player. I'm inclined to think that the player is telling the truth here a little bit. But as far as not having any suitors, I mean, apparently the Detroit Tigers were never serious about Alex Bregman, because they were talking to him this year. They talked to him last year. Like, what's not to like? What is not to like about Alex Bregman? Putting him in that order. Baez, Gleyber, Green, Carpenter. What's not to like?
It's
it
the
lengthens
money.
Your order.
It's the money.
Are they signing him to keep that money in reserve for Scooble? Is that the situation?
I don't think it's that, Z, but it's 5 years, $175 million. I mean, when you look at Bregman, is that what you think he is? Do you think he's that? I mean, you're
I
a Mets fan. Would you want him playing third for that much
hell no.
money?
Hell no.
Right? It's,
no.
To me, it's just a lot. It's a lot.
5 years, $175 with a no
camp.
Trade? No.
Yeah, I'm kind of in Boston's camp where it's just like, I can't pay you this much. The only thing I think Boston jacked up in this is you got rid of Devers for this guy, right? So I think you should have did whatever he asked for. You had to know this was coming if you let Devers go for this guy.
Right.
I mean, unless there was a very miscommunication of what how this was going to go, because he only signed a one-year deal. I'm sure you talked about what it was going to take to stay. When he came, I would think you did, but I think they really jacked this up. But maybe not, because they went and got Suarez today.
Mm-hmm.
And I would say if they're able to add Bellinger, and if they're able to add Bellinger and they're able to add Tucker, then they're all right. They're all right. But I don't know if they're going to do that. I don't know if that's going to happen.
I don't know. I think it's one or the other. I don't think it's both for Boston. Now, are they going to pony up for Tucker?
They have the money.
They have the money.
Boston has the money.
But Toronto, I think, can offer more.
Yes.
And Toronto was an inning away from winning the World Series last year.
But if you're Tucker, do you want to go play in Toronto? Because playing in Fenway is going to be stupid. It's going to be like playing in a wiffle ball field for him.
Yeah.
So that's the only thing is, like, you know, what do you want to? I don't know. I really don't know. I don't know how it's going to end.
If I was
whoever,
Kyle Tucker, I would choose the Blue Jays. Just the trajectory. I think the trajectory is better with the Blue Jays than it is for the Red Sox. It's better than the Yankees. It's certainly better than the Mets. So, you know, I think.
But what are you? In what scenario are you talking about? You're saying regardless of what they offer you, or
I'm saying regardless of what they offer. Like, it, obviously, you're not going to do a 2 years, $30 million. You're not going to do like the joke Met offer. I said that the Mets were going to offer
two for
30. Hey, we tried. No. It's got to be in the area. It's got to be in the range you want. It's not a hometown discount.
Because I'm guessing that everyone's hovering around the same area, but they're not giving him the years. That's what I would guess.
I'm guessing
he's looking for seven.
He's looking for seven.
And they're giving him 3 and 4, I'm thinking. And that's what's really like, fuck. Like, you know, like, because we talk about this every year. He's looking for his payday.
Right.
You know, he went to the Cubs played really well for them. But he's trying to get his payday. He's the only guy out there. It's him and Bellinger that are out there.
See, the thing is with Tucker is he's 28.
He's a better,
He's 28. Yeah. So, like, he's in there. He's in the prime. 7 years, it takes you to 35. It's not like...
He's just a Jason Bay type guy, right? Like, that's what it. That's what he kind of comes off to me as. Bellinger, the problem with him is the drop-off. I don't know what Bellinger I'm getting. No idea. You want 7 years, 215. I don't know what I'm getting for that.
No fucking way.
What guy am I getting? He wants to make $3 million less than Judge a year.
Are you getting MVP Bellinger or are you getting the 3 years in the wilderness Bellinger? I am inclined to think you're going to get a little mix of both. Like the first year, you'll get an MVP performance.
I don't think so. I think his MVP years are behind him. I think his best years are behind him. The only thing that's attractive about Cody Bellinger is the dude can play the outfield and he can play first base. That's the best part. And he doesn't strike out a lot.
No, he
which
doesn't.
Is nice.
He doesn't
strike out a lot. That's the nicest part about him. But is he going to be the reason I go and win a World Series? I don't think so.
Probably not. I mean, at this point, you're looking like...
Now, is Kyle Tucker the reason I could win a World Series? Well, I can see that he's got two.
He does.
He went to the Cubs and made them relevant. If I add him... If the Mets add Kyle Tucker in front of Juan Soto, I think that gives them a good chance to finish in first or second in the East. I'm just being honest.
Can Kyle Tucker pitch? Like, because that's what the Mets desperately need right now. It doesn't matter.
No.
Like, okay, you put it.
No, but right now the problem is they have nobody to hit in front of Soto. And I don't think, you know, Bellinger is okay, but that's if you're coming in second. Like, you know, if we don't get Tucker, then yeah, Bellinger will do, I guess. Because I don't think you guys are going to get Bo Bichette.
No, I think the Phillies are going to get Bo Bichette. They're coming hard for
Bo
Bichette.
Sounds that way.
It sounds like it's going to be the Phillies. So
it's pretty wild when you think about it.
It's very interesting. It's very interesting to see where
they are able to pull that off.
I mean... We got to see what's going on with Philly because, you know, Real Muto is still available. You've lost Ranger Suarez.
Yankees should get him.
Yeah, you know, Zach Wheeler's not going to pitch for the foreseeable future. Like, what? You're in flux right now. Like, what are you going to do, like, if you're the Phillies? Because that bullpen is not any better. that bullpen is about the same.
I think they missed their window.
They're passed.
They missed it.
They absolutely passed.
Unless they go get Mike Trout. Go get the rotting carcass of Mike Trout. You might have a chance. But.
Yeah.
Hypernatural, the best men's polo shirts of 2024 as voted by Men's Journal. Hypernatural offers polos, tees, and button-ups that deliver an unmatched comfort and style featuring hypercool jade technology for natural cooling. Enjoy an exclusive discount with my promo code DANDZ, and that can be used at hypernaturalstyle.com.
Over to the NBA, as the Hawks dealt alleged superstar guard Trae Young to his preferred destination, apparently, the 10-win Washington Wizards.
What?
Guard CJ McCollum and Corey Kispert go back to Atlanta in the deal. Reports from Brian Windhorst indicate that Young will not play much, as the Wizards will try and protect their 2026 first-round pick from the Suns. Huh?
Huh? Why are you making this trade? If you're the Wizards, why are you making this trade?
I think it's interesting that both Luka and Young got dealt.
It is interesting.
Because I just think if you're a general manager, even if you're Dallas, you're looking at this and it's like, man, this guy's been here, and arguably he's been going up this whole trajectory.
Yeah.
Okay. And the one time we got to the finals, we got beat in five games or four games or whatever it was. I agree. He could have gotten more than Anthony Davis. Yes, 100%. But you could have gotten to a Trae Young situation where he tells them where I want to go. Right? And then it's like, well, fuck. Like, I don't want to send you to the Wizards. Mm-hmm. I'm not saying Luka would have asked to go to the Wizards, but, you know, odds are he might have asked to go to L.A. or he might have asked to go to Houston or whatever.
Yeah.
But he didn't want to get into that situation. And, I'm a Mavericks fan. I like the Dallas Mavericks, even though Luka's gone now and that was my guy. But, like, I kind of get it. Like, we're not winning with you. Then what are you doing here, man? Like, you know, at one point, you know, Jalen Brunson and Luka Doncic were on the same team.
Right.
And they never got anywhere. So what am I going to do to make this better? How am I going to get this going again? You know what I mean? And yes, I agree. He could have got more, but I feel like it's the same Atlanta thing. He's looking at Trae Young. He's like, okay, great. Trae Young is a great point guard, and this is wonderful, but we can't even make the playoffs.
But my argument is Trae Young, yes, he plays point guard, but is he actually a point guard? The dude averages, for his career, he averages 25-9. And four rebounds. He's a scorer, man. I think you're better having him off the ball. And you know what? The Knicks have, though. They can do the funniest fucking thing. They can bring the villain into the fold. They can absolutely bring the villain into the fold and acquire Trae Young to play with Jalen Brunson. And he doesn't play any fucking defense. He plays absolutely no defense. It's Ole.
You think they could coexist?
I don't know. I absolutely don't know. But it's a nightmare. It would be a total nightmare. But it might cost you less than the Giannis pipe dream. It certainly would cost you less than the Giannis pipe dream.
I think the Hawks are up to something. Because I think they're up to something. And they're dumping payroll. I can see them going after Giannis and going after Anthony Davis. Even though Anthony Davis is hurt, I could totally see them, you know, trying to buy low on Anthony Davis, but give the Hawks everything that they're asking for and try to put all that together and see what happens. You know, not this year, but next year and in the future, and you get a couple of shooters. And I just think that's the route they're going. Kind of the same route Nico Harrison was going. Oh, we'll play defense because he can't keep going this way. Luka Doncic scores a ton of points, plays no defense.
No.
Useless. At least Giannis, you can say he's a rim protector.
Right.
He plays some defense. He grabs boards.
Yes.
You know, and then if I have Anthony Davis, okay, we're going to be defensively sound. Because let's be real, you're going to have to beat the Thunder. You're going to have to beat the Spurs. Houston's really good this year. How are you beating these teams? You're not going to outscore these teams. You're going to have to stop them in some capacity.
And you're not built for that right now. You're absolutely not built. And you certainly weren't built like that for a guy like Trae Young. So, like, but you look at the optics of it. This is a preferred destination, a 10-win team. What did I text you? I text you, Trae Young is a loser. Like, of all the places you could want to go, you chose Washington, D.C. No offense to Washington, D.C., they haven't been relevant since Michael Jordan was playing there.
But what about when Beal and Wall were there?
What did they do? What did Beal? I was told
they cost a lot of money.
I
paid a lot of taxes.
I was told that Beal and Wall was really good, but it's like the albino tiger. I never saw it. They rarely played together.
Right.
So what are we doing here? And the fact that this guy wants to go there, and then they're not gonna play him? No, dude. Get your ass on the court. Get on the court. Now, I understand they're trying to protect their pick because of the Bradley Beal trade. this pick could end up getting swapped if it's not top 8, I believe. It could get swapped with the Suns. So, how? You're bringing an asset just to not do anything with it. Tell me how that makes sense. Now, the only way this does make sense is if you're flipping them. The only way it makes sense is if it's like Mike Piazza with the Marlins. He's there for a week, and then he's elsewhere. And you bring in more warm bodies, more picks, and rebuild this team. Because the Washington has been in... they've been in a perennial rebuild for, what, 15 years, it feels like? Most of our adult life, the Washington Wizards / Bullets have been terrible. So, I don't understand it. I don't understand it. Why Trae Young would want to go there. I don't understand why they would want him if they weren't going to play him. And it's just absolutely confusing. Adam Silver should look into this, but he's not. So I'm not even going to dignify the rest of that sentence with a response. Big Fork Brands brings bold bacon sausage, paleo pork jerky, and Chicago-style sauces to your table. Enjoy rich, smoky flavors made with sustainable ingredients and chef-crafted care. Enjoy an exclusive 20% discount with our promo code DNZ. Find them at BigForkBrands.com. That's 20% off using our promo code DNZ at BigForkBrands.com. The national championship game is set. Yeah, Here we go. Let's go. Finally. It'll be a home game for the U, by the way. So the 10 seed Miami Hurricanes outlasted the 6 seed Ole Miss 31-27, and they'll be facing juggernaut number 1 Indiana, who mauled Oregon 56-22.
Glad I watched that game.
Since Michael Irvin and Ray Lewis suiting up isn't an option, what can Miami do to weather the Indiana onslaught to deliver a win to the U?
Nothing. It will be a waste of everyone's fucking time to watch, after 6 weeks of playoffs, to watch the 10 seed play the 1 seed in Miami. Like, what a waste of time. The score is going to be probably like 42. And it's Carson Beck, I believe, yes, is the quarterback of the Miami team, who's driving around campus in a Ferrari. So what does he have to lose in this game?
Did they ever find that? I thought it got stolen.
I think he got a new one. Like, they stole the Lambo and he went and got a Ferrari. This has zero relevance. This game means absolutely nothing. And I don't even think I will watch it because I don't care. I was stupid enough to watch the Oregon-Indiana game, and what a waste of time that was. And this is going to be a 10 against a 1.
An undefeated waste. One.
Yeah, an undefeated one.
It's tough. It's absolutely tough. You know what? If Carson Beck pulls this off, he's got to jump to at least number 2 in the draft board, and maybe the Jets will ruin his career. Because we know Dante Moore is not going there. Dante Moore is going back to school.
He heard those rumors. He's like, nope.
Jokes on you.
Absolutely not.
Moogie's like, joke's on you, pal. We'll have the number 1 next year. Surprise, motherfucker.
Simpson seems like he's going to come out, and that's going to be a disaster for him.
Dylan Raiola might be out. Like, I don't know.
Just trade the pick, man. Just trade the pick. You don't take a quarterback. Trade the pick.
Nobody wants to go there. And Stephen A. Smith, I don't agree with much that Stephen A. Smith says, but the reports are starting to back him up here that nobody wants to play for the Jets. You know, as far as what they're
not going to be the guy that's going to change this organization.
No.
Unfortunately, the same thing goes to the Cleveland Browns. You don't want to go to Cleveland. They had Baker Mayfield. Baker Mayfield turned out to be a damn good player. Like, same thing with the Jets. You had Geno Smith. You had Sam Darnold. Yes, it takes time. But then you go and you draft Zach Wilson. And you have your coach and your GM fucking going to bat for this dude that's going to be flipping burgers in 6 months.
And you know what? Like, can Mendoza turn the Raiders around? Like, the Raiders haven't exactly been the bastion of quarterback success either. Like, yeah, Derek Carr. Okay. Rich Gannon. They didn't draft Rich Gannon. Rich Gannon almost washed out of the league before they got him. Jamarcus Russell? Oh, the last time they had the number 1 pick. My man, Mr. Blank DVD. So, there you go. Like, they haven't had the best track record either. So he could either save the franchise or they can ruin his career. much like the Jets. But
I see him as being like a Sam Bradford type. His game is very similar to his. That's what I see when I watch him play.
I mean, he's got a good arm. He's definitely got a good arm. Yeah. He's got those intangible leadership skills.
Sure, sure. Oh, yeah.
You know, he's like Kirk. He looks like Kirk Cousins Jr. out there.
Yeah. Yeah.
You could do worse.
Jets could probably get Kirk Cousins.
There you go. There. That actually, that might behoove them. But as far as this game goes, I mean, you can't slow down Mendoza's offense. The defense is ferocious. Like, Kirk Cignetti attacks in all phases of the game. Like, he plays an uber aggressive style, and like they're there to punch you in the mouth. They're not worried about your feelings. Fuck your feelings. They're gonna run it up. Why? Because they can. Stop us, Mister. I win. Google me. That's all from the jump from press conference. Like, that's what you know about Kurt Cignetti, and that is the swagger and that is the attitude that he brings to your organization. Miami's going to have to... They're going to have to pull what the Giants did against the Bills. Just grind it down, keep the offense on the sidelines, don't make mistakes, chew that clock, and do just enough. Scrape by. Make it friggin' 10-3. 3-0. Good luck. But that's what you have to do. Like, you have to take the air out of the football and keep their offense on the sideline. But that's going to be a tough sled for the Hurricanes. I can't see it. I think it's over at halftime. This team is just too good, too talented, and unfortunately, the U is going to have to wait one more year to get back to prominence.
Quantum Squares offers scientifically formulated energy bars with 100 milligrams of organic caffeine for long-lasting, stable energy. Every delicious bar provides balanced nutrition with 10 grams of plant-based protein, healthy fats, and complex carbs. Use our promo code DANDZ. And you can use that at quantumsquares.com.
It's the In Route, where friends of the show get a special segment with us. Want to be part of the action? Want to be the newest member of the In Crowd? Well, you know what to do. Hit us up, faderoutemail@gmail.com, or slide in our DMs on IG at faderoutepodcast, or drop us a line on X at faderoutednz, and you could be next.
Golden Gloves champion, cybersecurity specialist, and social media motivator, Trey Hubbard. Thanks for coming on, Trey.
Thank you guys for having me. How are we doing?
Hey, what's up?
What's going on?
You know, just doing the best we can, as everybody tries to do, right?
There you go.
Living the dream.
So let's start you off with this. You know, you're a former D1 athlete at 300 pounds, high performer who lost his way. So can you take us back to that specific moment of rock bottom and explain what was different about your mindset this time that allowed you to commit such a radical rebuild?
Man, first things first, man. Like, it started when COVID happened, right? I was playing college ball. I had transferred four times. You know, I was someone who, you know, I ran from adversity. Like, every time something got tough or got hard, like, I just found the way out, right? And I got to a point where, you know, I was like, man, like, at some point I have to stop quitting. You know, I have to stop quitting, and I have to just face those things before they come and face me, right? So COVID hit. I got sent home to my parents' house. There was no structure anymore. There was no meals. There was no classes. Nobody, like, planning my day. It was now up to me, you know, to kind of be an adult, you know, and take things into my own hands. So it was the year is 2019, December 21st. My quarterback from college, he was stabbed to death in a bar fight. And I got a call, and I was like, man, like, I'm not really, that's when I kind of realized I wasn't living right. You know, that I wasn't taking advantage of everything I was supposed to be doing at this young age. And so a couple months later, COVID hit, got sent home, and I was just at home. Like, I was just online school, like, not working out, no coaches there. They'd sent us a plan, but I didn't do it. And I was just eating, right? And I always had like an eating problem, like an eating disorder, I'd say. And I was able to get away with it because of working out football 6 days a week. Like I was able to just eat whatever I wanted and get away.
You were you were burning it up.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I was burning it up, right? And so I used to walk around at 2:30 at 5:11, which is whatever you want to make that of, right? Use your imagination. Not supposed to be that way.
No.
Right. So next thing you know, I look up, I'm 260, and I was like, all right, at some point I'll get right, like
at 5:11.
I'll be good.
260.
I'm 260, and I'm like, I see it though, but I start flipping the scales over in all the houses, like taking them out. Every time I'd see a mirror, I'd look away. Like I was avoiding it. I was like, I'm good.
Wow.
Next thing you know, I'm 290. And I'm like, okay, like now this is a problem. But it didn't really hit me until I went to this all you can eat sushi spot with my guy from back home. And we sat there we walked in at noon and we said, all right, we're gonna sit here and we're gonna see who can eat the most amount of sushi, and whoever loses owes the other person $100. And I was like, well, I'm not losing. I'll sit here all day.
Yeah.
And sure enough, we sat from 12 o'clock to like till they close at 9. And I downed 94 pieces of sushi to his 95.
No
right?
way.
And I sat there like all day, like literally all day. And so I was like, I have a problem. Like my shirts weren't fitting anymore. I had to go shopping. And I had to go buy this 2XL hoodie, which is the only 2XL thing that I ever had. So I was like, okay, I'm going to step on the scale tomorrow. I haven't stepped on the scale in a couple months. I'm going to just see. And that's when I was like 302. I was like 301, 302. And I was like, I just touched 300 pounds. Wow. You know, that's when I was like, okay. Like, I called my high school coach. I had nowhere to work out. I didn't know really how to work out. Like, all of my workouts were, hey, do these power cleans for four sets, 10 reps by a coach. I never, like, knew how to, like, work out. So I walked into this random, like, commercial gym, Planet Fitness or something like that. And I did like two workouts and I was like, I'm going home. Like, I don't have to be here, you know? Like, and so that's when I hit rock bottom. And so I exhausted everything. All my contacts said nobody was messaging me back. But Tony Thompson, man, Train Hard, Virginia Beach, Virginia. He was my high school coach. I called him, or trainer, I called him and I was like, listen, I don't have any money. I don't have anything for you. I'm 300 pounds. I need help. Like, I need you. And he was just like, all right, come in. And I came in, and that's where I met my now brother, Jar Charles. He's on his way to the UFC. He's a fighter now, a professional MMA fighter. And he was working out, and they were just going so hard. They were going hard, and I was just like, I can't keep up. Like, I can't breathe. My lower back hurts. Like, I can't. I can't do this, man. I basically was making excuses, and they were like, listen, like, you either get with the program or you get left by the program. And they would leave me on runs. I'd start walking, and I realized that, like, they didn't care how I felt. Like, they didn't care. You either had to get with it or get left. So I was like, okay, well, I'm going to get with it. You know, this is my last chance.
It was almost like you had to start caring.
I literally had to start caring. I wanted somebody to come save me, and I thought somebody was coming to save me because my parents, I got two loving parents. Every time I got out of a situation, they would save me. I always had a way out. This time, there was no way out.
Yeah.
Wow. Like, I had to go through it.
That's unreal. So, like, as part of your weight loss journey, you woke up at 2 a.m. and hit 10,000 steps before most people even wake up. So how much of that was about the physical weight loss, and how much was about using physical suffering to reclaim your mental discipline?
Man, the biggest thing about that was learning to do things when I didn't want to. Because I didn't like working out with a bunch of people, right? So everyone works out late, so I was like, well, I'm going to get up early in the morning. I also work security from 4 a.m. to 4 p.m. 4 days a week, and I didn't like working out afterwards. So afterwards, right at 4 o'clock after work, I'm like, whoa. I adopted this mindset. It's called the swallow the frog theory, right? So every single day you must wake up and swallow the frog, right? And so you can either swallow the frog one time or you can swallow it twice, right? So if you swallow it twice, that means, okay, you woke up this morning, you said, listen, I have to swallow this frog. If I wait until 4 p.m., that means I had swallowed the frog twice, because the first time is me thinking about it, and the second time is me actually having to do it, versus waking up at 4 o'clock or 3 o'clock and just doing it and getting it out of the way for the day. So that's the mindset. That's
never heard that before. Wow.
That's what I adopted. So I just wake up and just, even though, like, even now to this day, I hate working out, but yeah, I know that I have to swallow the frog.
And you get into like a routine, and then it just becomes part of your daily thing, where it's just like, I gotta do this, whether I like it or not, I've gotta do it.
That's the thing.
That's such a good mindset to have, because that affects everybody. Like, there's things that, you know, we all work a job, and I'm sure there's parts of our job that we don't want to do, and there's things that in life that we don't want to do. We got to do them. You got to do them. And what are you going to do? How are you going to get up for that? How are you going to motivate yourself? And it's like you said, you got to motivate yourself. No one's going to be in your ear. No one's pushing you, especially if you have a good family structure, if you have people that are going to help you out. They're just going to keep bailing you out. But at some point, you've got to look at the guy in the mirror and you'd be like, well, we got to do this, whether you like it or not. But I agree so much with what you're saying, because I went through a similar thing with the gym regimen. Even Anthony could tell you with his gym regimen, because he was tipping the scale too. And he had to look himself in the mirror and he had to get to work, and he did. Zinzi, you look great, man.
Thank you, man. You know, it's been a journey. And, you know, like, it's not just the physical activity part too. It's like, it's the diet. It's the mental discipline. When I see this 2 a.m. thing, you remind me of David Goggins a little bit in that kind of mentality, and the sheer savagery of the mental game that he has. And he stretches for 2 hours and then he goes to bed. You know, it's like he stretches for 2 hours, goes to bed at 3.
I was like you too, in the sense that I didn't want to work out after work. Like, I'd go in the morning.
No.
And the other thing was, is like, I'd make all these excuses. Oh, you know, I've got to go really early. If I can't go really early, then I'm not going to go at all. And then I started hanging out with this guy that would go to the gym at like 4 a.m. I'm like, how do you do that, man? Like, how do you get up? He's like, I just get up. I set my alarm and get up. It's like, yeah, but sometimes it's really cold outside. He's like, put on a jacket. I was like, yeah, but in the morning, I can't figure out what to wear. He's like, I lay my clothes out. There's no thinking. I get up, I put on my clothes, and I go. I don't brush my hair. I don't brush my teeth. I just put on my clothes and go. And I take care of all the other stuff when I get. I don't eat anything. I don't drink anything. I get my hour and 30 minutes in, and then I'm ready for the day. And I was like, I can't do it. He's like, no, there's no such word as you can't. You may not want to do it. You can do it, you know?
Yeah. That's a big thing. You know, there's some days I feel like that too. But I kind of make this, like, I made this pack in my head, right, where, you know, I always lay my clothes out as well. Every single night I lay it out. So there's no, if you can eliminate the thinking aspect out of everything to where you just don't have to think. With meal prepping, you don't have to think about what you're going to eat when you get home. It's already made.
Right.
Going to the gym, having a plan. You already have a plan. You don't have to think about what you're doing. Mm-hmm. What am I going to wear? No, there's no excuse now, because everything is step by step. Now it's up to, do you want to do it or not?
Right. It's the same thing. It's like even the workouts. Like, I already decided what workouts I'm going to do. This is what I'm doing Monday. This is what I'm doing Tuesday. There's no thinking about. And next thing you know, I blink my eyes, and I'm not only did I get up, but I did the workout, and I'm already like on stretching and getting ready to go. I was like, wow, it wasn't that bad. It wasn't that bad. But you know, it's getting mentally strong. But like, you went from, you know, the D1 trenches to winning a Golden Gloves title with the fastest knockout in Houston history. So what did the sweet science teach you about personal accountability that football couldn't? And how did the transition help you shed your old identity?
Man, I'm going to be honest with you. Like, growing up, I didn't think I was capable of violence. Like, I always been a bigger guy. I always been a big body. But, like, if you really got down to the weeds of things, I was afraid of the world. Like, I was afraid of everything. You know, so that was something that like, I feel like I know now, like, even like me coming out with my story, I know that a lot of men struggle with this. I know a lot of men struggle with being violent, but every man can be violent if they have to. Like, you just have to, some people just have a line, right? And I didn't know where my line was for the longest time. And I'm going to tell you right now, like, there's nothing scarier than preparing for a fight, getting in the ring, and turning around and realizing that your coaches aren't standing in the ring anymore. They're sitting down, and it's just you and him. And that light above you just gets so bright, and everything just like time skips.
Your heart start going.
What? Like, from the, like, honestly, like, even preparing for the fight, like, it's just, it takes a toll on you. But, like, I'm willfully putting myself in this position because I need to know how I get down under pressure. So here I am in a situation where, you know, I'm in Houston Golden Gloves, and I'm gonna kind of bring you guys back to kind of set the story for you. The guy, or my brother Czar, right, he fights, and I had just I got my first knockout a couple years before my Golden Gloves history, but I stopped fighting because my first knockout was in 38 seconds of my first ever fight.
Wow.
Right? And so I didn't mean to do it though, but I did it because my eyes were closed. I was just swinging and I knocked him out. So I was like, oh, well, everyone thinks I'm Mike Tyson now, so I'm just gonna ride off in the sunset.
I'm good. Thank you. Thank you. This is great. This is
great. I'm retired, right? So everyone, I'm just gonna leave while I'm up, right? So people kept convincing me that it was lucky, and I just let them have it for a while, but it bothered me. And they didn't know that it bothered me. So I was like, man, I don't wanna step in the ring again because like I don't know what would have happened if I didn't knock him out. Right? So I was like, whatever. So then fast forward to 2024, the end of 2024, fighter Czar, or brother Czar, he's a fighter, but we ended up going to church before his fight, and the pastor said, he said, listen, I want everyone, July 24th, 2024, he said, I want everyone to close your eyes, and I want you to visualize, and I want you to think about the first thing that comes to your mind, right, and whatever that is, whatever you're running from, you have to go do that thing. And the first thing that I thought of was competing, was fighting again, because I was running from it. And I was like, dang. And I was like, I gotta do it. Even if I gotta do it, but I gotta do it scared. It doesn't even matter. Just going. If I go in there and get knocked back all the way to 1975, so do it. It's whatever at this point. I'm just gonna do it. So as soon as I got home from Sacramento, I flew back home and I was like, I'm doing it. So I walked into the gym and I was like, hey, I'm trying to fight. And they were like, okay. And I was like, whatever. So I ended up training, get to the Golden Gloves, right? So get to Golden Gloves, and the guy that I was fighting, he's 6'4". I'm only 5'11". And I didn't know this, though. And I hadn't trained for somebody that was taller than me. So he was just looking down. I get to the ring, and I talk to my coach. I'm like, coach, what's the game plan? Like, because everyone, like Mike Tyson says, everyone has a plan until they actually get punched. Like,
right.
Well, I'm going to go in there. I'm going to do this. I'm going to dodge this, da-da-da-da. Okay, and then you get punched, and you're like, wait, what's going on? Whoa. And you get punched again, and then you just, now you're getting beat up.
Yeah.
So my coach goes, he's like, listen, as soon as the bell rings, I want you to go stab him to the stomach and then come over top with an overhand, and then do whatever you do after that. Okay. I was like, okay, cool.
Okay.
Like, I'm coachable. So as soon as the bell rung, I stabbed him, and I came over top, bam, he was knocked out. And I was like, okay. Okay. I see what's going. Shout out Coach Ron, Coach Sam, man, Coach Santiago too. Round for round, Houston, Texas, man. And so I ended up knocking this dude out. So that was the semifinals. Then we get to the finals, right? The dude who I'm fighting in the finals, he had just dog walked the dude before me, and he was a tough guy. He was tough as nails, but I was like, okay. He just saw what I did, so I knew that I was in his head a little bit. So we get in there, first round of the championship. My coach was telling me, like, while we were drilling, hey, you're throwing the uppercut from too far out. Stop doing that. I was like, all right, I'm going to stop doing that. I get in the ring. I throw the uppercut from too far out. This guy drops me. Bam. First round. So now I blink and I'm falling backwards. And I'm like, I get up and I'm looking at him. And he's like, get up. And I'm seeing him like four times. I'm like so dizzy. But I'm like, my coach is like, take your eight count. And I'm like, at that point, I was panicking. I was like, I don't want to be here anymore. I feel like I just got beat up in a middle school parking lot. Like, everyone's saying, oh, cameras are out. Like, my ego is crushed. Like, I feel so small in this big world, right? And I'm like, I came this far. I can't go like that.
Yeah.
I can't go like that. So we ended up boxing. I ended up dropping him in the third round for the championship. Recording the Golden Gloves champ of Houston, Texas. And, man, I give it to God, man. Because whenever I get nervous, I just let him know, hey, this is your problem now. Like, you led me here. I did everything you said. This is your problem now. And so, you know, that just kind of shaped me, man. Like, now everything I do, I know that, like, whatever happens, I take the pressure off every situation, because whatever happens in the situation, it's supposed to happen.
Right.
Good or bad.
Right.
Totally.
This was your path.
Exactly.
You know, and it's a transition too, because as part of a football team, you're relying on 52 other guys, right? You're relying on your coaches. Like, at the end of the day, like, you know, somebody, like, if you miss a block, somebody's gonna come in and have your back. There is nobody to have your back in the boxing ring. It's you. And for you to step up and like take that and just kind of move through it, I mean, that's admirable, man.
That's
like,
unbelievable.
unbelievable. Most people would just take their lumps and just be done with it.
Walk home. Yeah, go home.
100%.
You got back up and went toe-to-toe.
You got to. And like Z said, like, that's another important point. Like, there's 10 other guys in the field. So I can stay up the night before, party, and wake up and drag all into to walkthroughs for the football game. But you can stay up and party and show up to a boxing match if you want to, right? You can, but, you know, the other guy's been training. Whenever you don't want to go that extra round or throw that extra punch or do that extra round of jump rope, you think about, man, my opponent probably just did it. Now I got to do two more. So now he probably just did two more. Now I got to do three more, right? So it's just, you just have to, like, it's just you in there. And that's, like, the scariest part. But it, at the same time, you really figure out who you are. And that's the amazing, that's the beauty of it.
Yeah, especially in Golden Gloves. He's either working just as hard as you are or harder. There's no doubt about that.
Exactly.
Check out part two of our interview with Trey Hubbard later this week.
Step outside of your safe area and make a statement without saying much with FCK Clout Lifestyle Apparel. Embrace the colorful chaos and stay emotionally regulated in their graphic tees, hoodies, snapbacks, accessories, and more. Go to fckclout.com today and check out current season and past season merchandise for men and women. Get it while you can. That's fckclout.com. Check them out today. fckclout.com. Who's the best of the worst this week in sports? The Fade Store presents the Alleged Superstar of the Week Award.
All right, boys and girls, you know what time it is. It's time for the Alleged Superstar of the Week. You know how it goes. We put up a poll on our X account at FadeRouteDNZ and our Instagram poll at FadeRoutePodcast, and you vote. And you vote, you vote, you vote. The winner of the vote gets a shout-out on this here show and takes home the coveted ass trophy. And do you know who took home the coveted ass trophy last week, D?
I don't.
The Jets. Of course. Of course. Of course. Fucking, at this point, the Jets, we might have to retire them. We might have to put them in the Hall of Lame. Like, it's ridiculous. Like, how many times can one organization win this? They're at this point, they're right up top with Aaron Rodgers. But that was last week. This is this week. Who are your nominees for Alleged Superstar of the Week, D?
All right, so first up, I've got... let's go with the Alleged Superstar on the Milwaukee Bucks, Giannis Antetokounmpo. With the Bucks down by 30 to the Timberwolves last night, they were booed by their fans going into halftime. Giannis mocked the fans' boos after halftime after making his first basket. Dude, you don't get to do that. Like, you don't get to boo the fans when you play like trash. Ultimately, the Bucks lost 139-106. But win like a man and lose like a man. You are down, do something about it. Come back. Show some spry. Score some points. If you don't like the booing, do something about it. Giannis Antetokounmpo, you are my Alleged Superstar of the Week. Number two, A.J. Brown, the wide receiver on the Philadelphia Eagles. Don't complain about not getting the ball and then drop passes on key third down plays in the playoffs at home a year after winning the Super Bowl. A.J. Brown, you are my Alleged Superstar of the Week. And the last one, the Chargers offensive line. It was interesting when they were doing the introductions, all of the offensive linemen were either not ranked or ranked at the bottom at their position. They went on to give up 6 sacks and only allow Justin Herbert to throw for 160 yards passing. I know I'm trying to get Justin Herbert's signed ball on the cheap, and you guys are helping me do that, but you're going to get this dude killed. Chargers offensive line, you are my Alleged Superstars of the Week. What do you got, Z?
Oi. Oi, oi, oi. Well, you really can't go wrong with those, but I am going to start with the New York Rangers.
Oh, God.
Bruins 10, Rangers 2.
Who hired this crew?
I was out at Winner 7-1.
five-seeded.
When the Bruins kicked the extra point, I turned it off. They kicked a field goal.
Yeah. Oh, when they kicked the extra point.
When they kicked the extra when they kicked the extra point, I was moving on to Mistletoe Murders on Hallmark. And then I saw that they kicked a field goal after the fact. So if you haven't watched The Mistletoe Murders, is actually a very good show. So definitely
much better than watching the Ranger game.
Oh my god, and they're losing 6-1 right now. So if just in case you need to know, Bruins and Senators 16. Rangers 3. Most goals allowed since 2009. Most goals in a single game.
And Shesterkin's hurt, right?
Shesterkin's hurt. Quick is in. Quick's getting hung out to dry. That defense is fucking terrible. Panarin is scoring. Mika is scoring. They're just showcasing for other teams. JT Miller is calling people out. You know, I'm glad we got him back. That's wonderful. I mean, it could be worse. It could be worse. You could have Filip Hedl right now. Filip Hedl is concussed again. So there's that. What can you say about this season is that it's the Olympic break can't come fast enough, and neither can the trade deadline. I got my mom tickets to Rangers Jets for Christmas. That is going to look unrecognizable. I don't know who the fuck these guys are going to be. It's going to be the Rangers versus the Hartford Wolfpack. It's going to be the Jets versus the Hartford Wolfpack. Like, that's what we're going to see in March. But New York Rangers, you are my alleged superstar of the week. Number two, Brandon McManus. Oy. Two missed field goals and an extra point. And last time I checked, you had as many allegations or as similar allegations as Justin Tucker, yet you were able to keep a job this year. I find that very interesting. But bad week to have a bad week, Brandon. Brandon McManus, you are my alleged superstar of the week. And number three, Dennis Schroeder. You hear about this? Got suspended 3 games for taking a swing at Luka. So Luka was taunting Schroeder that he should have taken the Lakers contract extension. And Dennis Schroeder apparently took that personally. So, you know, things seem to calm down. But then off the court, it escalated again. And he was trying to throw some hands. He wanted a piece of Luka. So maybe Luka's right. I'm just saying, maybe he should have taken that extension instead of rotting in Sacramento. Dennis Schroeder, you are my alleged superstar of the week. I think we said our piece. Go to our X account at FadeRouteDNZ. Go to our Instagram poll at FadeRoutePodcast and vote. And vote, and vote, and vote. And for our nominees.
You're better than that. Just do better. Just do better.
This has been the Fade Route with DNZ. Thanks for tuning in tonight. Catch our podcast on Wednesday nights on Spotify, iTunes, iHeartRadio, or wherever you listen to your podcast. So until next time, stay fade, everyone.
Time for us to run the go route. We'll talk to you next week.
Thanks for listening to this episode of our podcast. If you liked what you heard and you want to hear more, be sure to like and subscribe on your favorite podcast platform. Leave us a review, rate us 5 stars, turn on subscription notifications, and share on social media. Tell your friends and